Good to see those that are here, and pray that those that are at home or watching on a live stream are safe and healthy this morning. I want to encourage you to at least watch the live stream tonight if the weather is bad and you can't get out. I want to encourage you to pay attention and at least view it on live stream. We're going to talk about obedience that is pleasing to God. This morning, though, we're going to continue our look at the book of Proverbs as a source of wisdom. What we've seen so far in this book is that wisdom is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the theme of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 7. And what we notice next was found in verses 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Then last week, we noticed basically the premise that is taught in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 about your friends being misleading. Paul says there in that passage that bad company corrupts good character. We noticed in verses 10 through 19 that we shouldn't heed the friends that are around us. We shouldn't listen to their wisdom or their counsel, because most of the time they're going to be evil. You know, and it's like I said, my mama used to always ask me, if they were jumping off a cliff, would you jump with them? Well, I think sometimes when we're young and dumb, yeah, we would. Because I did some pretty dumb things when I was younger. And I'm not speaking for anybody else here, but I almost would say some of you did too. But at this point, beginning with verse 20, Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs, personifies wisdom. And what I mean by that is he gives it a characteristic, like he did in the first few verses, of a father giving wisdom to a son. But here he personifies wisdom as being a woman, and he gives her the name Sophia. We see this used several times in the first nine chapters, especially in chapter 8 and chapter 9. And a virtuous woman will be spoken of in chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. In the Greek, the word for wisdom is Sophia. And to emphasize wisdom's personification as a woman, we're going to use that name, Sophia, as we look at verses 20 through 33 here. And the first thing that we're going to notice is Sophia makes a plea. Her plea is made publicly. We see that in verses 20 and 21. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She's calling from the outside, wanting you to listen to her wisdom. And in verse 21, she cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. She's crying out, wanting somebody, anyone, everyone to listen to her wisdom. But wisdom is not hidden. You see, that's the interesting thing about wisdom. Wisdom is there for the taking if we would only take it. And it's free. Now, everybody loves free stuff, don't they? We live in a society that walks around with their hands out wanting free stuff. But why is it they don't want wisdom? They want to do things their way. And here Solomon makes this plea, personifying wisdom with a woman, that she's crying out for you to listen. Wisdom is not hidden, and it reaches out to all who will listen. We see that in the Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Solomon says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her hand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the path meets. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. She's begging you to listen to the wisdom. Well, in this lesson, and what we're trying to focus on, is we need to listen to the wisdom of God's Word. So Sophia's plea continues on, not only made public, but to those who would need her. How many here and listening on the live stream need wisdom? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I need wisdom. I need it as I go through my life. In verse 22, she makes 2 points. She says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long will you love simplicity? I like simple things in my life. A couple of us met down here yesterday to go over the production, the live stream and the sound system. And it's not as simple as me, as an individual, as I would like. Because it involves IT, it involves the computer, it involves technology. And sometimes, it's like I told Brother David this morning, I said, it hits right about here in my wisdom, in my wheelhouse of learning stuff. But I like the KISS method on things. Keep it simple. And she asked, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? I love when things are simple, but there comes a time when we have to grow. We have to step out of our comfort zone and learn new things. We have to learn, step out of our comfort zone to do what's pleasing to God. Therefore, the lesson tonight, obedience that's pleasing to God. But she goes on with those who need her. The scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. There are people in this world that just... It's like I told Marilyn last night. I said, there are people, there are Christians that get in this rut of how they want to do things. And if you try to get them out of that rut to learn new things, they shut down on you and reject you and say, I'm done. I ain't going to even stay in my rut. I'm going to quit. I'm shutting down completely. I've had people do that all my life. In trying to instruct them to do things better, to step out of their comfort zone. And we get so comfortable stuck in our rut, we don't want to do anything. So therefore, we hate knowledge. We don't want to grow. But isn't that part of being a Christian? Is growing and being a better servant of God? That's what Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I understand there he's talking about knowledge about who Christ is. But if I'm going to love Christ and I want to serve Christ, shouldn't I be the best and try to strive to be better tomorrow than I was today? I say yes. But the scorners delight in their scorning. The fools hate knowledge. The people that don't want to grow hate knowledge and wisdom. I've seen so many people that get in their rut, so to speak. And I had a brother one time tell me, and he was in his 70s, he says, it's too late to teach an old dog new tricks. When is it too late to stop growing as a Christian? I say the last time you can stop growing as a Christian is when you take your last breath. We need to keep growing every day. We need to continue to push ourselves every day to gain more wisdom of God's word and knowledge so that we can serve God better. As the text says here, fools hate knowledge. And those are the ones that harden their hearts to the point that to anything that's good, they're not going to try to do better. And people caught up in varying degrees of hardness of heart are talked about by Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. He said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Don't be like the rest of the world. It's time to grow up. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So we see here in Sophia's plea that it's made publicly, it's made to those who need her, and then she asks that we be filled with her wisdom. We see that in verse 23. She says, turn at my rebuke. We need to listen and respond when we are warned, and we need to repent when it's needed. Wisdom is going to tell me that I cannot continue to live in the way that I'm living. If I'm going to stay in my rut, then I need to widen it out a little bit. A little bit more every day. She says in the rest of that verse, "Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Wisdom stands ready to forgive and to bless those who open their hearts and open their minds. You know, that's a lot like God is for those who repent and turn. And that's what we read in Acts 3 and verse 19. The writer here says, "Repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out." Who wants to go through this life with their heart blackened and hardened, as wisdom spoke about here a moment ago? Who wants to go through life that way, living like the rest of the world? You know, we cannot live like the rest of the world and claim to be Christians. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says you've got to be transformed and not conformed. You've got to turn your life around if you're going to be a Christian and not live like the rest of the world. I had a man years ago ask me, with working at Howell Quaker, working around a press that made fans for an air conditioner unit. We had a break and we had some boxes and buckets we were sitting on. And he asked me, he said, "I know you're a Christian." He says, how can you work at a place like this and be a Christian?" I said, "I have to work here to provide for my family. I have to. I have to live in this world." I told him, I said, "But I don't have to act like the world." And I think the sooner we understand that, the sooner we will repent and turn back so that our sins can be wiped out. You know, the grace of God is clearly seen here in Sophia's plea. But it's seen for those who are going to listen to her and heed her wisdom. Those who are caught up in the varying degrees of hardness of heart are given opportunities to change their life. You know, they say that opportunity only knocks once. No, opportunity's knocking all the time. "Won't you let me in? Won't you turn? Won't you change your life?" Opportunity to be right in the eyes of God never stops. It never ceases. It's always there for you. But such opportunities don't last long. They don't last forever. Even though we have these opportunities, there's going to come a day when we're not going to have those opportunities. And that's what Acts 3 and verse 19 tells us. So now we look at Sophia again, and she's given a warning in the next two verses. She's directing this warning to those who refuse to hear. In verses 24 and 25, verse 24, she says, "Because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded." Those of you that have children or have had children, have you ever spoken to them and they act like they just didn't hear you? Anybody here ever preached in a pulpit and you have a certain topic in mind, or you're trying to reach somebody spiritually, and you look at them and it's just like the deer in the headlight looks? It's like, "What? Did you say something? Oh, were you preaching that to me? Well, I didn't hear what you said." The same is true with children. You know, I've talked to my kids sometimes till I'm blue in the face. And then when you get done, it's like, "Oh, were you talking to me, Daddy?" Duh. You've been there, ain't you, Travis? The same is true with all of us, though, when Sophia warns us to listen to her wisdom. She says, "But you've refused." She said, "I stretched out my hand and no one listened, no one regarded." She says in verse 25, "But you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke." You know, God's word is there for all of us. The wisdom of the proverb writer is there for everyone to take. And it's ironic, really, when we claim to be Christians, but we don't want to take the wisdom of God's word and apply it to our lives. Just like Israel rejected her prophets. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, Beginning in verse 15, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despising his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of God arose against his people, till there was no remedy." The opportunity for us to repent and come back to Christ, for us to take the wisdom of God's word and apply it to our lives, it's constantly there. But there's coming a day, just like with Israel here, when the Lord's going to say, enough. Enough. Then we'll have to face the judgment. Are we going to be like those in Israel who refuse to heed the Lord's wisdom and his warnings? Sophia, we go back to her, and she says that there will be no help when calamity comes if we refuse her wisdom. In verses 26 through 30, she says in verse 26, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror comes." You've had your opportunity, she says. I don't think wisdom, and I don't think God, is going to literally step back and laugh at us when we face calamity. But you think about it. It's almost humorous in an ironic way. Your mom and daddy ever say something to you when you're in school, like, buy your books, and you don't learn anything? Wisdom. Get it. Gain it. Learn it. So when things happen bad in our life, that's when we want to turn to the Lord. We want to break the glass in case of emergency. And that's the only time we want God's wisdom. That's the only time we want God in our life, is when bad things happen. But we need to be having this wisdom in our life constantly. She says in verses 27 and 28, "When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me." See, that's what I'm saying. People in this world, and sad to say, a lot of Christians, don't want the Lord in their life until something bad happens. And notice she says, "When you call on me, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." You wonder why? You wonder why they won't be able to find wisdom? They've never looked for it in the past. They've never looked for it. They don't know where to look for wisdom from God, because they've never sought wisdom. And people in this world wonder why they struggle so much, and why there's so much disaster and calamity. And that's why, like the radio program we discussed this morning, when something bad happens in our life, what's the first thing they do? Well, it's God's fault. I had a cousin who lost her daddy when I was a little bitty boy. And she blamed God for her daddy dying. Supposed to have been brought up in a Christian household. And how do you blame God when something bad happens? And they say, well, if God didn't do it, he allowed it to take place. Well, that may be. But if I've got God in my life, if I've got the wisdom of God in my life, and I know where God is in my life, then I'm not going to be struggling as much as people in the world. But she says in verse 29, because they hate knowledge. They hated knowledge. There are people, there are Christians, like I said, that don't want to learn. They don't want to grow. They're satisfied sitting on their hands. They've got their pew picked out. There was a man years ago that had his pew picked out, and everybody knew which pew was his because his feet couldn't sit still, and he had two curves worn out in the carpet where his feet was constantly going back and forth in the carpet. We knew that was his seat. I've had people, young people in the past, that I've seen come out of Bible classes, and they rebuke somebody that come in as a visitor during Bible class, "You've got my seat." Is that all church is, worship is for you, is having a regular seat? I hope not. I hope that people worship God to gain knowledge, to ultimately go to heaven. But they hated knowledge, she said, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Remember chapter 1 and verse 7, the theme of the book? The fear of knowledge, the fear of God, is the gaining of knowledge. I've got to choose to have a reverent fear of God. If I fear God, I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to go beyond what He says in order to try to please God. My daddy, and I've told you this recently, he told me, he says, as long as you put your feet under my table, you'll do what I say. Some of you know my daddy, and he's mellowed out a little bit in his older age. But when he was in his prime, let me tell you something, I believed him when he said, you'll do what I say. He backed it up. He backed it up with discipline. I had a reverent fear of my father. I have a reverent fear of God because He tells me if I don't love Him and fear Him and have a knowledge of Him, then He's got a place prepared for the devil and his angels and those who are disobedient. But Sophia says in verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. That's the way people are. They claim to love Jesus, but they don't want any part of what Jesus has to say. We need to heed Sophia's wisdom when it's being offered and not wait till it's too late. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Isaiah. Isaiah 52 and then Isaiah 55. In chapter 55 in verses 6 and 7, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He'll forgive us, but we've got to come back to Him. So in Sophia's warning, we see that there's no help when calamity comes, and those will suffer when they'll suffer the fate of their folly. In verse 31, she says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way. People that will not listen to the wisdom of God's word are going to suffer the fate of not listening to God. They'll eat the fruit of their own way. I mean, look at the history of Israel. They suffered the fruit of their own way. They refused to follow God and they went into captivity. And they knew. Moses knew before they ever crossed the Jordan River that they were going to go into captivity, that they would be disobedient. When he warned the children of Israel before he was taken upon the mountain to view the promised land, he told the children of Israel, be faithful to the Lord. Simple obedience. I can't stress that enough. It just takes simple obedience to be faithful. But in that warning, in that direction, instruction that Moses gave there, he told the children of Israel, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, but me and God know you. We know what you're going to do. We know you're going to turn your back on God. Even though He's rolling out the red carpet for you, He's going to give you this land. You're not even going to have to toil to sow the seed. All you're going to have to do is harvest. The houses are going to be built. The towns are already built, except for the ones you destroy. All you got to do is move in and take over. But that's not good enough for them. She goes on to say here in this verse, not only will they eat the fruit of their own way, but they will be filled to the full with their own fancies. People in life are going to fill their lives with what makes them happy. To a certain extent, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, Danny and Jason and I, we like to play golf. And sometimes it don't take long for me to get my fill of it when I play 27 holes in one day. That's getting kind of full. But there are things that happen in our lives that we allow to take place in our life that we shouldn't even have in our lives. And I think that's what wisdom is talking about here. We're filled to the full with our own fancies. Things that are taking the place of wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the serving of God. And when we do that, our heart is not in the right place. foolish counsel. We contrast the righteous in times of trial with that of the wicked. And that's what the proverb writer talks about later on in Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 10. Too many people wait until it's too late to do any good, to benefit from the value of wisdom. And we need to learn from wisdom while we still have time. So finally, let's consider Sophia's summary. She gives her summary in verse 32. She says, "Destruction comes upon the simple and fools." She says here in verse 32, "From the turning away of the simple, for the turning of the way of the simple will slay them." When we turn our back on God, we're lost. And when something bad happens, we blame God or we ask God, "Well, where were you when I needed you the most?" In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, Isaiah talks there that we're sinful creatures. And he said, God doesn't leave us when we sin, but we turn our back on God. God's always there. God's always with us. But we need to remind ourselves to have God in our life constantly. She says in the second part here, "And the complacency of fools will destroy them." Regarding wisdom, they will destroy themselves. Let me ask you a question. Will we be naive and foolish when it comes to receiving God's wisdom? God tells us what to do. He tells us how to live a faithful life. He tells us that we need to be growing in our lives in service to Him. But are we going to be like everybody else in the world and listen to the wisdom of our own heart or the wisdom of our foolish friends? Sophia says in the summary that safety and security are for those who are willing to hear. Are you willing to hear? She says in verse 33, or Proverbs 8 rather, she says, "Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Are we willing to listen to the wisdom from God's word? "Whose fear of the Lord will enable them to fear no evil," which we find written in Proverbs 3, 21 through 26. Are we willing to listen and heed the wisdom that God offers? As we close out this lesson, we need to understand. Well, let me catch up here. We need to understand that Sophia, from Lady Sophia, we learn what wisdom is a lot like: the grace of God. It's offered freely. All you have to do is take it. All you have to do is take it. Opportunity to obtain this wisdom does not last forever, though. The time will come when it's going to be too late. And I pray we don't wait till then to seek wisdom. Today is the day to learn wisdom from God. Just like today is the day of salvation that we read about in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So who are we going to be like? Those who are simple and foolish, or those who are wise and willing to listen to God's wisdom? How are we going to respond to Sophia? Well, however we respond reveals our true character and the ultimate end of our life. We go back to Proverbs 1, verses 22 and 23, and she says, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I pray that all of us are willing to listen to the wisdom of God's word. You know, we could stand up here and preach another hour on listening to the wisdom of God's word, because there is so much value there in growing, in expanding our knowledge, in expanding our ability to serve God. Every job that you've ever had in your life always wants you to be better. I'm talking about secular jobs. Some jobs want you to further your education. They want you to take trade classes at the trade school. Some of them want you to get some college classes to improve yourself, to hone your skill. Why is it that when we become a Christian, we plop down on a pew and say, I've got my ticket punched, I'll do what I have to do, and that's it? I ain't going to grow. I ain't going to change. Why is it that we view God's wisdom as second class to man's wisdom? I think that's the whole warning here from Sophia. Listen to God. Grow in our grace and knowledge of God's word. Do everything we can to be stronger, better Christians than we have in the past. Do not be offended if someone asks you to do more. Do not be offended if someone asks you to expand your knowledge or your ability. Because all they have is your best interest at heart. Plus, they want the church here to grow. I've had to do something since coming to work here at Eastside that I'm very uncomfortable doing. Writing cards. I usually sit down at least once or twice a week and write cards out and send them out to people, whether somebody's sick or somebody that's absent or birthdays or anniversaries. I try to make sure I get those out. Sometimes I fail in the matter. I'm not perfect at it, but I'm trying to make myself grow. And I do little things to remind myself. I've got a calendar tacked to the wall beside my desk, and I go through it at the beginning of the year, and I put down every month the day that somebody's got a birthday or the day that somebody's got an anniversary. And I try to get it ahead of time to think, well, I need to get this in the mail so they can get it on that day. Just like Linda Darien's got a birthday Tuesday, and I waited till today to put it in the mailbox. And then I go, tomorrow's a holiday. Post office won't run tomorrow. So she might get it on Wednesday or Thursday. We have to step out of our comfort zone when it comes to the wisdom of God's word. If we're going to grow, we can't stay in our rut. We've got to move out. We've got to move out. And part of staying in our rut might mean that I'm comfortable in some sin, that I'm satisfied living the way that I'm living. Even though I claim to be a Christian, I walk with the world. We can't do that. So I want to encourage you that if you need to make changes in your life as a Christian, maybe it's some sin in your life, or maybe you've become complacent. All you want to do is sit on your hands when you come to the worship service, and you realize you need to grow. We can help you. We can pray for you. It may be that you're having struggles that are really not of a sinful nature, but you need the prayers of the saints. We can pray for you. You know, with COVID and everything, there are a lot of people that are struggling. There are a lot of people that are struggling with depression and anxiety and things of that nature. And if you're listening on the live stream, we can pray with you. I get a phone call about once a week or every other week from somebody that's, I just need to talk to somebody. But it may be that you're ready to put Christ on in baptism. If you're watching on the live stream or you're here with us this morning and you're ready to make that decision to put Christ on in baptism, this is your opportunity. If you're on the live stream and you need to do that, then make arrangements with myself or one of the elders here or one of the members, and we'll take care of it. If you're here this morning and need to respond,